You say a lot of the kids can connect, you feel like, because of your story. And one of the things that stood out to me is you said you felt kind of isolated. And I think it stood out to me because I felt the same way when I was growing up, also very remote and in nature. And I was a little bit on the indoorsy side as well. Is that something that you've seen over the course of your career when you are a school counselor and now working with kids from home? Is that something that you've seen is kind of been steady or increased, or what are your thoughts on what's going on with that?
You mean like when kids feel isolated?
Yeah, is that something that you hear from a lot of kids as well?
I do, and it's so weird because when I think about if I would have had the internet or if I would have had a cell phone or like all these things, I feel like it would have been different, but they feel isolated in a different way now, I think. Because they can reach out to people without actually ever being around somebody. And so there's a different kind of isolation, like a physical isolation that happens because they can do everything from their room.
Welcome to Parenting Teens Today with Jessie LeBeau.
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's a big day here. Welcome, Attitude Advantage community. I'm so excited to share with you guys a light in the world on this beautiful Friday. It's the amazing, the incredible, the host of the podcast, the Teen Anxiety Maze, and the YouTube channel, Cynthia Koefel. And I just need everyone to know I nailed that pronunciation.
Yes, you did. I love
Yay.
it.
I appreciate you so much for making time today to be able to chat with all of us. And we were talking right before we jumped on here, and you said you had a little bit of an angry teen story, or maybe a rebellious teenager. So can we just dive right in and hear that part? Let's just share the worst, times, and then it will just be no place but up from there.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, and I think it is that background is actually what's helped me to, I think, connect with teens a little bit more than some adults do. But my upbringing was fine. Like my parents were nice and everything, but I grew up on a farm and it was way out in the boonies. I mean, at that time you could see a couple houses, but now, I mean, my parents still have the farm and you can't see a house in any direction and you can see for miles. So I was really isolated and the school that I went to was really small. And I don't like farming. I don't like to get dirty. I don't like bugs. I really don't like to be outside very much. So
You
and
sound
I was like,
cozy.
yeah, and I was, I've been like that since I was born. And so I always just felt angry that I lived there. Like I didn't want to be on the farm and I wanted to be in the city, which there wasn't even a city anywhere near, but I just wanted something different. And so, and my parents didn't understand me because they were like, "What do you mean you don't want to be out here? We love the farm." And we and I was just like, "I want to be with people and I want to get out of here." So, I was angry a lot because I felt like no one was listening to me. Like I had this all these things I wanted to do and all these things I wanted to say and everyone was just like, "Oh, go away, be quiet." And so I just felt angry all the time. So I rebelled a lot. I never ran away per se, but I would stay in town for days and not go home because I just did not want to be there. And sometimes they would look for me, and sometimes they were just like, "She'll come home, so we're not gonna." But and I was like fighting back in school, and I was just really angry about, why don't people listen to me? And I truly believe that that is also another reason I connect with kids so much because I know they want to be heard and I want to listen to them. And I just re I don't think that will ever leave me how much I desperately wanted someone to listen to me. And luckily I turned out okay and I went to college and I got a degree and I decided I wanted to work with young people because I didn't like how I had been taken care of as a youth, I guess. And so I thought, I want to go in and change this for the young people that are coming up. So I started as a teacher, but in 6 years I became a school counselor. And so 2 summers ago, after 31 years in education, I retired, but and 25 of those had been being a school counselor. So I feel like I've helped a lot, thousands and thousands of kids, and I've loved every minute of it. And now I want to do it from my home.
What a shift. I love it. So beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I'm wondering, you say a lot of the kids can connect, you feel like, because of your story. And one of the things that stood out to me is you said you felt kind of isolated. Mm-hmm. And I think it stood out to me because I felt the same way when I was growing up, also very remote and in nature. And I was a little bit on the indoorsy side as well. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you've seen over the course of your career when you are a school counselor and now working with kids from home? Is that something that you've seen is kind of been steady or increased, or what are your thoughts on what's going on with that?
You mean like when kids feel isolated?
Yeah. Is that something that you hear from a lot of kids as well?
I do. And it's so weird because when I think about if I would have had the internet or if I would have had a cell phone or, you know, like all these things, I feel like it would have been different, but they feel isolated in a different way now, I think, because they can reach out to people without actually ever being around somebody. And so there's a different kind of isolation, like a physical isolation that happens because they can do everything from their room if they want to, where you're probably sort of in the middle, like you had a little bit of stuff out. Like I was like, you know, it was the phone on the wall with the cord or whatever I didn't have. I think I'm trying to think when I went to college, I mean, there were computers, but you didn't do anything unless you were going to program the computer. You didn't like use it to make your life better or to contact people or anything. So yeah, I never had that when I was growing up. But I noticed that kids these days, at least in our area, don't want to get their driver's license. And at first I thought that is the first thing. I could not wait to get my driver's license because then I could drive away and get away from
independence.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it. And whenever they said they didn't want to, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that's your ticket to do all the things. And I was thinking about it from my perspective, not from theirs. And they don't have to drive to see their friends. They don't have to drive. Now, they would probably have to drive to their job. But the driver's license doesn't have the same significance that it used to because they can socialize with people in their room. But I think when you socialize with people on a screen, there is this different kind of separation that you feel because we are humans who want to connect with people. And I think connecting online is okay and great. And I'm glad we can do it. I wouldn't get to meet all these nice people if we couldn't do that. But if this is all I had, I would still be lacking in my relationships and the things I want to be physically around people.
Yeah, it's so critical. I couldn't agree with you more on that. Mm-hmm. And you have really become focused on teen anxiety. Mm-hmm. Why did you get so obsessed with helping teens when it comes to struggling with their anxiety?
Well, it started where I was just wanting to help them with all of their emotions. Like regulating emotions in general is really important. And that was the first thing that I got into. But then when the pandemic happened, I was still working in a public school at the time and our school shut down. And I desperately wanted to be able to reach out to my kids, but I didn't know how to do that exactly because the teachers had their platform, but counselors really didn't have a platform. So I used the teacher's platform, which was Google Classroom in our school. And I made these videos that I sent out to my kids just to say, you know, I know that you're probably feeling all sorts of emotions. Let me help you like work through them and let's talk about them. Even though it was a one-sided conversation, I was recording it and sending it out to them. And when school came back in session, you know, summer, I didn't do any of them because I'm on break, just as everyone else is. And when we came back in August, September, kids came into my office and said, I listened to your videos all summer long. That was their like connection to an adult that was outside of their home. And I thought, oh, I need to be doing more. And then of course, anxiety was a thing. It was ramping up way before the pandemic, but then it became even worse after the pandemic. And all of the clients I got, even though I was advertising as I will help you with anything, they all had anxiety. And so I was thinking about it, but there were some coaches that kind of pushed me in that direction. And as soon as they did, I was like, oh my gosh, my daughter has anxiety. And it's not like I forgot that she had anxiety, but I didn't think about how I have lived an experience like raising a child who has anxiety. And I helped all these kids throughout the year. So it became like a no-brainer that this is what I would do.
Yeah. And it kind of becomes, I feel like, a superpower when it's something that you've struggled with too, and you've gotten through on the other side of it. And when it's close to home, like with your daughter mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it really is a special thing. And I just want to commend you and acknowledge you for having such a great heart doing this thing over the summer. And you don't even know, because kids aren't the best at responding and thanking you via email in the Google Classroom over the summer, right? They're on TikTok.
Right. They got TikTok. They're having a break.
Yeah, they're having a break too. I guess, you know, mm-hmm. we'll let them do that. I think that is so awesome. And I've found something that you shared earlier is kids just feeling seen and heard and cared about. And you can have all the degrees and all of the PhDs and the plaques on the wall, but just having someone that gives a crap about you really mm-hmm. seems to be to me, the thing that gets kids to light up, to open up. And I think it's inspiring to anybody. Because you don't have to be this person that's accomplished a bunch of amazing things. You don't have to be particularly smart, good looking, any of these things. You just have to care. And yes. when you care, people can feel that. Would you mm-hmm. agree with that?
Oh, definitely. I think that so often, well, like as far as anxiety, the first time somebody said I should be an anxiety coach, I was like, well, I haven't been trained in anxiety, you know, like I haven't taken a class on anxiety. I just know a lot of stuff. And it turns out that that's okay. You know, I have all this experience and I really care about knowing more about it. So I study up on it and I try to learn all the newest things that are going on with it. But I thought, of course I can help people with this without saying I have some certificate that says, I've been trained in anxiety, because I guess you have like life education of anxiety.
Yeah, 100%, 100%, mm-hmm. right? So if I'm a parent and I have a child who's struggling with anxiety, what would be a couple of things that you would urge me to do?
Well, I really think that first of all, I have a parent guide about this, but just being open and safe for them to talk about anything, like sometimes maybe not saying anything at all, but just opening the conversation for them to just let them sort of vent some of the things that are going on with them. And maybe, you know, prompting them in some of the conversation, but just so they know that I can say whatever I'm feeling and it's going to be okay. And I'm safe mm-hmm. to say it here with this person. And I think that is so important to start with the parents, because the more they are able to explore their thoughts and feelings, even if they're kind of scary to them or scary to the parent, because I know that those, when they're feeling some of that panic and some of the things they say is kind of scary, but not reacting in like a panicked way yourself, but trying to just stay calm and listening to what they have to say, and asking them for permission to help them. Like, do you need some help with this? Because sometimes at first, they feel like if the parent jumps in and says, oh, I'm going to take care of it, I'm going to call these people, I'm going to do all this stuff, that almost makes them more panicked, because then they're like, oh no, what's going to happen? What am I going to have to do? And so just being open to saying to them, how can I help you? What is something that has worked? What have you tried already that's worked? How can I help you with that? What is something else you'd like to learn in this area? And kind of looking to them for the answers in a way. And then
love that.
They will be more open then to talk about more things. And a lot of the parents that reach out to me, they say, I want you to work with my teen, but my teen doesn't want to do it. And I really think it's important for the teen to want to do it too. Like, we can't force kids to try to fix something. And another thing that I find is that parents come to me, oh my gosh, my child's so messed up, or they have all these problems. And then when I talk to them one-on-one, they're like, I'm fine. I don't, you know, the parent is a little more panicked about what's going on than is maybe necessary. And I think because I've dealt with so many kids over the years, I can see what is concerning and what's not concerning. Like, I don't think I would have that knowledge. Well, I know I wouldn't have that knowledge if I hadn't worked in school for so long. And I think it made me a calmer parent, because when my kids would do off the wall things, I would see it in the context of all the things that could be wrong. And I'd be like, oh, they're fine. And parents don't have that perspective of what is the spectrum of all the ways a teenager could be. And their teenager is almost always middle to very typical. And, you know, they're seeing it as, oh my gosh, because it's either not like them, you know, like, well, I didn't feel this way, or I didn't do this thing or whatever. So I just think being open, and my favorite question that I have parents ask their kids, and they have to be ready for whatever the answer is, am I part of the problem? Because sometimes parents are very intense, and not for any bad reason. Like, they love their kids so much that they're just like on it and in it, you know, trying to do all the things. And that can be very intimidating and off-putting to their teen. And so asking the question, am I part of the problem? And then really listening to the answer. And if the answer is yes, there's nothing has gone wrong, and that's probably going to be more times the answer than not. But just listening to why, like, what is it that I'm doing that is causing you to feel anxious or panicked, and how would you like to see that changed? Or, you know, what could I do to help that situation?
Wow. Okay. So make a safe space where they feel comfortable sharing. Mm-hmm. Ask questions. Do you want help with this? Is this something that you can do? And then even be as far and willing to go and say, am I part of the problem? And actually listen to what they're going to say.
And that's hard. Right? Yes. Because we don't want to hear that we're doing something that's upsetting our teen. And not that we're not going to be, I think they're going to be upset with us no matter what we're doing. But sometimes, you know, because we love them so much, we push certain things and we think it's fine. Like, I know I did the same thing with my daughter. She'll still talk to me. She's an adult now. And so we can have like real conversations about things. And she'll say, oh yeah, you were totally pushing me, because she and I are very much alike in our personalities. And so I just thought, well, I know best. And so you should be doing these things, and you should get involved in this, because that's what I would want to do. But that isn't what she wanted to do. And it took me a long time to be like, it's okay if she's not like me. She'll still be fine.
Yeah, I love that bit too about perspective of, hey, yes, these may seem like big things and it's the end of the world to you, but if you knew what was going on with all the other kids, man, these other parents would give anything to trade places with the issues that you're having. So having that bigger perspective, I feel like that's something I have to urge a lot of parents to, is like, hey, let's look at this, and don't put all of this stress and pressure on yourself. Have some grace. You're not the only one going through problems and issues like this. But I agree with you so much. A lot of times it can be like the kid's doing fine, and it's a parent that is just a little bit overbearing. And the thing that we actually have to work with the kid on is like, all right, how do you deal with a mom or dad who is just going to be constantly pushing you in your business, thinking that you're not enough, and do it in a delicate way as to not be disrespectful to the parent. But that is like, the issue is like, yeah, I don't know why I'm here. My mom's crazy. You know, and you're like, okay. And you're like, well, it's probably somewhere in between what she's saying and what you're saying. And then you spend more time. And I also find it is more common in different cultures when it comes to people that expect more, right? Mm-hmm. Certain cultures are like, hey, you're going to work hard. We came from another country, not for you to be anything less than a doctor or a, you know, some really successful thing, because they want the absolute best for their kid.
Coming from a good place.
Yeah.
It's just not effective.
So And it's kind of towing that balance. And I think that's a tricky thing as a parent today. So when I'm towing that balance, let's say my teenager is anxious, and one of the things they're anxious about is developing friends at school, or even let's say it's even more extreme, which happens a lot since the pandemic with kids that we are dealing with, is they can't even get out of the car to go into the school. So as the parent, how do you toe the balance of when is it the right amount of pushing them and making them be out of that comfort zone and do something that makes them anxious? Or, hey, this is something that they're having a hard time with, and we kind of pull back from this and create another way to go about it. How can a parent balance that? Because it's that seems like the tricky thing of not knowing like when or how much to push them when it comes to these things, when it's dealing with anxiety.
And that is very difficult. And I had so many teens that were like that. Like the parents would drive them up to the door and then they'd call me on the phone and say, okay, we're at the door, but they won't come out of the car. And a lot of times I would go out and I could usually get them to come into the building. But yeah, it's very difficult. So what I like to do with teens in this situation, and I think, you know, this is something a parent could do as well, is to just really talk to them about we have to do sometimes things that we don't want to do, things that we're scared about, things that don't feel good to us. That's the secret sauce to being an adult. And so in order to be able to do that, you know, you can't just stay in your bed every day, or you can't just stay home every day because it feels uncomfortable to go to school. So, you know, you give some and I'll give some, and let's figure out what to do here. And so sometimes I would have kids and come for half a day for a week, you know, like just come into the building and we'll figure out some things that you can do that feels safe and comfortable to you, but you have to come every day and at least stay till lunch. Just to kind of get them back in, because that was usually they had been staying at home for a long time, fighting their parents about coming to school. And so we would try to tiptoe them in very softly so that they weren't freaked out that they had to come for a whole day or you have to do all this homework. And I would work with the teachers to say, you know, what is busy work that we can take out of this pile of work that they've missed? And what can we do? And maybe sometimes we'd have them come in the morning on some days and the afternoon on some days so that they could get all their classes in. Or we would have them come in and stay in a room and get all their work and get help with their work. But they had to slowly figure out how to get back into all of their classes and staying all day. And we tried to push that to go a little faster than they wanted to usually. And that was kind of the push, you know, like, I know it feels comfortable if you just stay in this room, but now we got to go out to three classes and we have to go to the class. And sometimes I was even going with them so that they felt like, okay, I can go if you sit there for a while, and then I just sort of sneak out. And it is a lot of work, and some schools maybe wouldn't go to, I mean, like the things that I was doing with my students, because I think it's important, not everybody was willing to do. Some of the counselors weren't even willing to go to the car to get the kid to come in. And I would go to into cars. I would, you know, sometimes there was a girl that her mom worked at the school too, and her mom had to come in to go to work. So the girl stayed in the car and she would give me her keys and I would go out and unlock the car and sit in the car with the girl and talk to her about how she needed to come into the building. And it was not 100% successful. I mean, there are just kids that are like, no, I am not doing this. I do think that if I were the parent in a situation where I could not even force my kid to do school, I think, you know, maybe there's a therapist that, you know, there's other things that maybe are going on. Maybe they need medication. Sometimes medication helps people feel calm enough that they can go to school or that they can work on some of these things, and they might not have to take it forever. But it's kind of like that buffer to help them get through that hardest time. So, I mean, none of those are foolproof. If you do this, it's gonna fix everything. But I would try to work with your school and see if there's like little modifications you could make so that you could get them in the door. I think it's so important that they get up and go. You know, maybe you don't stay all day today, but you got to get there. And then tomorrow, can we stay 1 more hour? And the next day, you know, can you go to two classes? And, you know, just keep doing that. But there are a few kids that I knew that there was a room that was just so panicked. I mean, they would just get so panicked and triggered by a room. Maybe it was a smell, or maybe it felt claustrophobic or whatever. And we would try to move them or find other ways that they could feel comfortable. I just asked them a lot of questions like, what is it about this room? Is there a kid in there? Is it the teacher? Yeah. Is it their voice? Is it too hard? You know, like trying to figure out what is the exact answer and then how do we fix that?
Yeah. Well, I love that because I think sometimes you have to go out of that comfort zone and it's scary and you don't want to do it. It's kind of like the immersion therapy of like, you're scared of snakes. Well, you're going to need to be around some snakes to overcome this. But to do it in just in little pieces. So, hey, let's just get you to school. Let's just get you in the door and we can build up from there because you can then see, hey, it's not as bad. It's not as scary because with most things in life, it never is as bad or as good as you think that it's going to be. It's somewhere in between. Right. So I'm curious. We've talked about the parent side of things. What about for the teenagers themselves? If they're finding themselves to be agitated, stressed, anxious, what are a couple of things they can do that are kind of tools that can help them when it comes to dealing with anxiety?
Well, the very first thing that I teach all my clients is how to process an emotion, and it's much more complicated than what we can do here, but there's a couple things they could do. So part of processing an uncomfortable emotion is feeling where is it in your body. You know, and everyone is different. So some people feel a tightness in their chest. Some people get a stomach ache. Some people get a headache, just wherever it is. It's usually like a buzzing or a like a tingly feeling when you have that that uncomfortable feeling. And I ask my clients to just breathe in and imagine their breath is going to wherever that area is and that it's healing that area. So it's healing the stomach, it's healing the head, it's healing the shoulders, the chest, wherever it is, and just allowing it to just set in their body. And they're sort of inviting it in like a friend, even though anxiety, we don't feel like anxiety is our friend, but it is part of us and it's part of everybody. Everybody experiences it sometimes. And so you just invite it in and you just let it set in your body. And so there's more stuff that goes along with it, but I have them practice that every day because if they are allowing it to be in their body, it will actually flow through because emotions are a tunnel. They have a beginning, they have a middle and an end. And most of the time we get those uncomfortable feelings and then we shut down, or we get those uncomfortable feelings and we are holding the door closed so it can't come in, or we're fighting it like, I don't want to feel this way. And so we're fighting back. And all of that just keeps that emotion stirred up and stuck inside of us and it can't go out. And so if you are relaxed and you're allowing it to be in your body and you're just breathing in and feeling like the breath is healing you, it's going to flow out in about 10 minutes and you're not going to feel so uncomfortable anymore. So that's something that people can do right away.
So embrace it. Don't fight it. This is part of life. You're going to feel these things. Breathe it in and use it as a healing. I feel like I've seen that and heard that. It's like breathe in the positivity, exhale the negativity. But identifying that body part, like for me, it tends to be like in my neck and shoulders. Like even as you were doing that, I'm like, oh, okay. And give yourself maybe a 10 to 20 minute block. And that can help significantly. You find when kids are doing that you work with, that it can completely change things a lot?
Oh, definitely. And I tell them to practice every day because if they only try to use that technique when they're panicked or in anxious, their brain is shut down. Like that, and part of our brain does shut down when we're anxious and panicked because we're naturally made that way. If we, you know, step off a curb and a car is coming, we want the thinking part of our brain to shut down so we can get out of the way. Because if we're thinking, we're standing there for a while thinking about, oh, I wonder how far, you know, can I go this way, that way? How fast is this car going? And then you're already, it's over. And so their brain is shutting down in anxiety and panic. So if they practice it every day, it kind of makes a groove in their brain about how to feel uncomfortable and to be okay with it, so that when those really intense feelings come on, they can still know what they're doing and kind of follow the steps almost unconsciously. So I have them practice on boredom and annoyance, because boredom and annoyance are huge with teens. I promise them every day you're going to either be bored or annoyed. And so if you practice being able to process those uncomfortable emotions, like in a boring class, or some people are annoying at your lunchroom, or your parents are annoying or whatever, then you're always practicing that to where it's just almost second nature to do it when you really need it.
Isn't it crazy? These things aren't part of a school curriculum. You know, these
Why is that?
like,
We,
yeah,
yeah. I
because
know, I think
yes,
about that all the
every
time.
day. You said it, every day you're gonna guess what? As an adult too, you know, it's gonna be these
Every
things, but
day.
by practicing it, I'm always looking like through a sports lens. It's like, yeah, you couldn't just show up to the games and when 3,000 people are watching you, you gotta make the great play and hit the shot. Like you have to practice these things and they have to become a part of you. And I feel like even for my own life, so many of these things, the first step into having a good attitude is I have to recognize like, oh, I can choose what my attitude will be. And then, okay, here's a tough situation. I'm starting to feel like I want to have a bad attitude. At least knowing that there's a ability that you can make a choice and do something different and being aware of it. So this same principle that you're sharing of like, all right, I'm starting to feel a little bit agitated. I'm starting to feel some sensations and tingling in my body. I'm starting to feel some boredom or some, you know, people are annoying me. Okay, no, I actually have tools in my tool belt that I can use to do this. So I love that you are doing this in the schools and now doing it outside of the schools because it's so needed. And these are the things that actually are going to benefit you once you're done learning, you know, what we're learning in school these days.
Oh, definitely.
I wanted to explore with you bullying. Over 31 years working in education, working around teenagers in the schools, I'm sure you saw pretty much every variation that we can imagine of that from before phones or big cyberbullying and after. What have you seen in the schools and how do you advise parents to handle it when their kid is dealing with a bully, whether it's in person or online?
Well, my daughter was bullied for all of her elementary years and most of her middle school years, and then it dissipated, and thank goodness, and she had a fine high school. But the things that I worked on with her were, how do you, when somebody is bullying you, how do you talk back to them? Not in a way where you're then bullying them or being rude to them, but how can you use what they're saying back in a way that stops it? Because I always tell kids, and this is true, that if someone is trying to say mean things to you or hurt you or whatever, if you are not talking back to them, they can't fight with somebody who's not fighting. And if you're just like, not paying attention or laughing about whatever they're saying, and that's mostly what my daughter did, is if somebody said something to her, because they used to call her the Queen of the Geeks because she was friends with everyone. And then, the kids that didn't want you to be friends with everyone would call her names and treat her bad. And she would say, she would just say things back to them that I thought was so clever. I don't think I could have thought of all those things, but just things that were like, well, who's the geeks? Like, maybe everyone is a geek. Who knows? Like, she would just kind of come up with things, and then they were like, oh, and then they would just run away.
See
So,
how
but
smart of
she, yes. And we read this book, and I think it was called like Meanies, Bullies, and it gave like these scenarios. And I remember when we read it, she felt control then, like, oh, well, now I'm fine to go to school because I can just use these things to talk back to them or get out of the situation or whatever. So she was almost hoping that they would bully her, because then she was like, well, good, because now I have these tricks that I can do. And it worked really well. And I think that's why her high school was easier, because she was in the small school with the same kids, kindergarten through 12th grade. And by high school, they were like, oh, well, that's just Haley. She's different and weird, but we're fine with it. Like, they didn't care anymore. So that's one thing, is that they need to help their child feel that they have control over, how they feel about it, you know, like not taking it personally about themselves, but it's about that other person. So teaching a lot of that. And she, there wasn't any online stuff because she graduated in 09. So people were barely texting at that time. So, yeah. But in the school system, when kids would say, well, this person said all these things to me online, I always said, don't say anything back to them. No matter what they're saying to you, don't. It, the second that you respond back, then that's just fuel for them to then to continue to send you another message. Never, you know, talk back with them. And if it's threatening, or it's like, we're going to beat you up at school, or we're going to come to your house and do stuff to you, I said, that needs to be turned into an adult. That is against the law for someone to talk to you like that. And so I just kind of tried to make it as serious as I could, because there were a lot of serious, terrible things that people were saying, or like, you should kill yourself, or, you know, all of those things are illegal to do, or pretending to be someone. It's illegal to pretend to be someone else. And so we would talk a lot about the legalities of that. And then just not, if it's just silly stuff like you're ugly and you're fat or you're whatever, I would just say, don't say anything back. And I said, you might like take screenshots of it and keep it in case this continues. Then we need to turn it into an adult, whether it's your parent or somebody at school, if it's happening at school. And then those people would be taken care of with consequences of if it was something at school. If the bullying, cyberbullying was happening outside of school hours, the school can't do anything about it, but it can be looked at from the police or in other, you know, the parents can try to do some things through their channels to try to help that if it's not happening at school. But I think a lot of times kids are like, well, I need to defend myself by saying things back. And it just stirs that other person up, and it doesn't fix anything. Because even if you are defending yourself or saying, I never did that, or that's not me, or you don't know what you're talking about, that's not going to change that other person's mind. They're a mean person. They're going to keep being mean. And so you just need to have your people, whoever they are, and hopefully they have, you know, a friend or two that they can go to and just have as a friend or friends, and just try to stay out of what these other people are doing. I know it's really hard to do in the teen. Yes, it's very hard to do, but the minute that they get involved in it, it just becomes a huge mess.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's Brene Brown, but somebody else, there's a bunch of people that have said this, what other people think of you is none of your business.
I love that.
Yeah. Because, and we think it's our business, and we think we need to tell other people. A lot of the kids would say, oh, well, my friend told me that so-and-so hates me. And I'm like, well, she shouldn't have told you that. And they're like, oh, well, they're my friend. They should tell me that these other people don't like me. And I'm like, that just really just stirs it up. How does that help you to know that that person doesn't like you? It doesn't help you. It doesn't change anything. And I said, you know, I know for a fact that there are people in this building when I was at school that do not like me. And I'm okay with that, because not everyone's going to like me. And I don't want you to tell me that somebody doesn't like me. I'm okay. I'm just going to keep doing my job. I'm just going to keep living my life. And these other people over here cannot like me, and that's okay.
Well, kudos to your daughter for being able to have the confidence to not care, because so many kids don't have that confidence, and they care so much about, like you said, what the other people, they don't even know if that's actually what's being said or if someone's not stirring the pot. But I remember I saw a meme one time, and I thought it was great, and it was basically what you're saying of, if you don't participate in a fight or an argument or bullying, then there can't be, you know, these different things, because you're choosing not to stoke that fire and continue it. And like you said, easier said than done. Most adults can't handle this. I see things on there where it's like people responding and fighting. I'm like, these are grown adults like writing these things. And then I'm like, and what am I doing? I'm like spending my time looking at these people I don't even know. They're probably not even real people, you know? So yeah, I think those are all great things. And for like you said earlier, parents to be able to have that open communication where their kids feel comfortable and safe having those conversations with their parents makes a big difference. Because if there isn't that open line of communication, then they're just going through that by themselves. And most of them are going to, like, people are so messed up today and kids can be so cruel. You can just go and delete someone writing something mean. I did that one time. I remember early on in all this stuff, there was someone writing something on there, and someone asked me like what to do. I said, I'll just like delete it. Like don't respond to it, just delete it. And when we deleted it, all of a sudden it was alert, 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 alert. And they went and posted the same thing on 100 different posts.
Oh
And they
my
were an
word.
adult. And they were an adult. And so it's like, I think just move on with your life. Like you're saying is such good advice. Go live an awesome life. Be happy in real life. And don't even give them the satisfaction of thinking that you even heard or saw or care. That's, I do that too. It's like, I don't even want them to know that I saw anything about this. Like, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction, and my little competitive nature will kick in, and I will follow through on it.
Well,
Well,
and I think it's helpful to me because I've not ever been in a fight or, so it's easy for me to say, oh, just don't worry about it. I'm sure that it is, your personality is part of it, how your parents are reacting to it is part of it. And because we do see adults acting so crazy all the time, no wonder kids are doing things like that because they don't really have a lot of great role models showing them how to act, especially on social media or on the internet.
yeah, isn't that the truth? So what can a parent do to help their teenager regulate their emotions better?
Well, I think being aware of emotions, and my favorite thing to tell parents and teens is that all emotions, every one of them, are normal. We, as humans, we have to feel everything. And so often we think, oh, I feel angry, there's something wrong with me. I feel anxious, there's something wrong with me. All the ones that don't feel good, we think that that means something's wrong, or we need therapy, or and it's just that we are going to feel all the things, and that it's okay, and that parents shouldn't just tell people to get over it. I know I probably said that myself with my kids, like, well, just get over it, just
Walk it
stop
off.
worrying about it. And yes, we do want to move on from having bad feelings, but saying that to kids is not helpful. So trying to be curious, like an investigator, where do you think this is coming from? What has happened? How would you like to handle it? All of those kinds of things, instead of saying, don't worry about it, or stop thinking about it, or what's wrong with you that you can't be happy, or all the things. Though that's a lot of what kids tell me their parents are saying. And for kids, they also need to realize that it's all of it's normal, and that no emotion is going to last for a really long time. So even if they're feeling really bad when they get up in the morning, some mornings, that is going to go away. Like, you, especially if you allow it and let it flow through you, it's going to go away a lot faster. But even if you are like fighting against it, and at some point you're going to feel a little bit better. And yes, there are some people that chemically, the things that are going on in their body do make that harder to happen. And maybe they do need medication, or maybe they have a lot of really big trauma in their life that their body is holding on to, and that makes it harder too. So you kind of have to look at all the pieces. Everybody's anxiety is different, or comes from different reasons. But no matter where it's coming from, you can try to calm your central nervous system down by just allowing it to be there. And being aware that all the feelings you have, no matter what they are normal.
And so important. It's temporary. And that's something we talk about when it comes to people, of they make a permanent decision about a temporary problem. And when they're feeling hopeless, when they're feeling lonely, like you are sharing, it is really an epidemic that's going on right now. I appreciate you so much for coming and sharing. It's just amazing what you're doing, and I hope this can help a lot of our parents and our listeners. For everyone who wants more help on helping their teen with anxiety and all the things that you're doing, where's the best place for them to go check out?
Well, my website is CynthiaKoffelCoaching.com, And I have my free parent guide on my front page. There's how to schedule a time with me, other information. Also, the Teen Anxiety Maze podcast. And that's also a YouTube channel. But I think my YouTube channel is called Cynthia Kofel Coaching. But it is the Teen Anxiety Maze podcast on video. So all sorts of resources. And many parents listen to my podcast, even though it's for teens. Because you can get some conversation starters or get some ideas about how to help process emotions and then just tell your kid about it.
Awesome. We'll make sure everyone checks that out. And I want to ask you one final question. If you were going to go back and you were going to give yourself one piece of parenting advice as you were starting down this journey, let's say for a teenager. So your 12-year-old's about to turn 13 and you go back in time, what would that one piece of advice be?
They are going to be okay. Because I think that's what I was most worried about is, oh no, if I don't do all the things right, if I don't punish the right things, celebrate the right things, they're going to be living in the streets and never be anybody or whatever. Yeah. And I wish I would have been calmer and just thought they're going to be okay. They're going to go on the journey, whatever it is, and they're going to be fine. And I need to calm down a little bit and not, you know, be so worried that I'm doing everything wrong and I have to do everything right or these disasters are going to happen. That is not how it works.
Yeah. Yay. I love it. We'll end on a positive note. Everything is going to be okay.
Yes. Everything's going to be fine.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for your time, and we'll make sure that everyone goes and checks out the YouTube channel and the podcast and everything else you have going on. Thank you so much.
That's great. Thank you for having me. It was fun.